Okay, all right, good. I know mine has, and I'll share a little bit about that in just a few moments. But we have been taking some time looking at summer in the Psalms, and we've been looking at some prayers of David, and which started just a couple of weeks ago during Independence Weekend. And before we get started, what I'd like to do is just to tell you two ways that you can follow along. One is inside the church bulletin, there is an outline. You can follow along that way, or I'm going to put Dom on the spot. If you just raise your hand, Dom can get you a Bible if you'd like to follow along that way, because we're going to be looking this morning in Psalm chapter 17, and we're going to be looking at God acting on our behalf. But just to review quickly, 2 weeks ago, Scott shared with us about God being there for us, and we were asked, when life becomes so overwhelming, do we believe and trust in God's overall plan? That God will bring things together for the good and for our good. Last week, Chick shared with us about God instilling confidence in us. And Chick shared three things that really rang out for me. That we know God's promises, we believe God's promises, and we practice His promises in our everyday lives. So I have a question to begin. Have you ever, at any time, been blamed for something that you didn't do? I know I have. Can you think of that time? Can you think of the person who accused you? Can you think, was that person, were they out to get me? Was that individual just being vindictive? Was that person someone who was close? Or just, you know, just some random person. You thinking? Yeah, I think of that when, with Tina, she had an accident about a month and a half ago. And as we began to work through the process of getting everything taken care of, out of the blue, one of the other parties just said, you know, it's not completely my fault. And Tina doesn't get angry very much. But when she did, boy, I tell you what, when Mama's not happy, you know the rest. And she was really frustrated. She said, what in the world is going on here? Like, I was minding my own business and everything. But no, it's not my fault. And what was really nice about the fact of paying for insurance is that we had people who represented us. People who spoke on our behalf. People who are defending us. And there's other individuals who are involved with this. And I'm just going to leave it at that. But just knowing that we have people who are speaking for us. People who are acting on our behalf. And that's what we're looking at this morning in Psalm chapter 17, as we look at God acting on our behalf. In chapter 17, we see here that David is looking for deliverance and he's looking for vindication. Now, this is a time in David's life before he was king. Now, as I took time through the past couple weeks to look at how, doesn't say how old he was, but he was young. And hence, he was probably young in his spiritual journey. Now, this is in the form of a prayer. And you can, I don't know if in my Bible it says Psalm 17, a prayer of David. So this is a prayer that David prays. This is a very emotional prayer. And at some times, it's intense. And you may be able to sense it as we read it together, of anxiety and a little bit of vengeance. But Psalm 17 does not mention at all what David is being accused of in relation to his suffering. But as we read this together, there is no doubt that David knows that God is going to act on his behalf. David's prayer here is a petition to God, just like in that day and time that people would petition to a king for appeal and to the king as judge. So let's look together this morning as we're looking at Psalm 17. I'm going to read the whole passage of Scripture. We're going to read that together. And then we're just going to look at some practical things for us. What does this mean for us today? And what does it look like for God to act on our behalf? Let's read together Psalm 17, beginning in verse 1. It says this, "Hear, O God, my righteous plea. Listen to my cry. Give ear to my prayer. It does not rise from deceitful lips. May vindication come from you. May your eyes see what is right. Though you probe my heart and examine me at night, though you test me, you will find nothing. I have resolved that my mouth will not sin. As for the deeds of men, by the word of your lips, I have kept myself from the ways of the violent. My steps have held to your paths, and my feet have not slipped. I call on you, O God, for you will answer me. Give ear to me and hear my prayer. Show the wonder of your great love. You who save by your right hand, those who take refuge in you from their foes, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings, from the wicked who assail me, from my mortal enemies who surround me. They close up their callous hearts, and their mouths speak with arrogance. They have tracked me down. They now surround me. My eyes alert to throw me to the ground. They are like a lion hungry for prey, like a lion crouching in cover. Rise up, O Lord. Confront them. Bring them down. Rescue me from the wicked by your sword. O Lord, by your hand, save me from such men, from men of this world whose reward is in this life. You still the hunger of those you cherish. Their sons have plenty, and they store up wealth for their children. And I, in righteousness, will see your face. And when I awake, I will be satisfied with seeing your likeness. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again for who you are, a God who is faithful and a God that I believe acts on my behalf. I pray, Lord, as we go through these next few moments together, that we would begin to see our hearts and our minds, we begin to believe that you will act on our behalf. Father, teach us how to live this life each and every day in the truth of that. This is your time, Lord. Do what you will. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we see here, David has some people who are out to get him. We see that, and we don't know what he was being accused of, but he's being accused of something. He's crying out, as Chick did last week. He literally was crying out to God, saying that this is what's happening, Lord. And then as the chapter concludes, he says, I know at the end of the day, I'm going to see you. So let's look at this together, because there's a couple of things that I'd just like to share with us when it comes to God acting on our behalf, is this, that God defends his people. God defends his people. You see, I'll put it this way, God is the ultimate bailout plan. Not just a one-time stimulus, but for us, as we believe that he defends us, it's a pattern of living. When the time comes when there's blame, when there's accusation, when there is finger pointing, we know that God will defend us. We sing that here on Sunday mornings. He is the defender of the weak. He is a comfort to those in need. And God defends his people because God is faithful and vengeance is his alone. You may ask, well, how do I know that he defends me? One of the ways that for me that helps to look back and see how God has been in my life and how faithful he's been. And I don't know about you, I believe Steve shared this one time, but I have one of these too, Steve. It's a journal. And you know what? I write out prayers in here. I write out questions. I write out my frustrations. Just going to God. And then in those times, even with this accident, I'm going, all right, what's going on here? Like, we're not at fault. What in the world is happening? And yet, I can go here. And I can look back and I can go, whoa, God, you did it before, so why wouldn't you do it again? In your time and in your way. And God, ultimately, what are you trying to teach me so that I can become more like your son, Jesus Christ? Chick also shared last week about how David would have known about Moses. And Moses was a guy who lived by faith in the Lord. It says it this way in Deuteronomy 32:10. It talks of Moses, speaking of God's faithfulness. In a desert land, he found him in a barren and howling waste. He shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye. And in other words, the apple of his eye was pupil. Because we need our eyes to see, correct? Yeah, and so for me, to see better, I need glasses. But yet, if you think about it, what helps protect our eye? Our eyelid. There you go. Thank you. Yeah, so when things come near us, what do? We close them. And just like that, that eyelid protects the pupil, protects our eye. God will protect us at all cost. Because he is not only faithful, but God believes that we are that important to him. Not only that, as we go through our lives and we begin to see that God will act on our behalf, we begin to have a deeper understanding of who God is. Not only that, we begin to see how much he values us. And we begin to have a vision like his vision. We see with his eyes the things of this life and of this world. So if God is going to act on our behalf, we can ask the question, what happens when the finger pointing happens? What happens when the blame comes? Well, I think there's one of two ways that we can handle this. One is that we can trust him, and we can trust the Lord with all of our situation. Or, Jeremy, if you can put the other one up, we can trust him. There we go. Or we can take matters into our own hands. Well, we can. So we can do it God's way or our way. Now, I don't promote gun violence, but just a side note, I was able to go to the Ordnance Museum in Aberdeen, Maryland, and so I got to hold a machine gun. That was pretty cool. But unfortunately, it was rubber. But anyway, still had a good time there. But what do we want to do? We don't want to do things on our own and in our own way and in our own time, but we want to do the first. We want to trust him. So what does it look like for us when the finger pointing happens? I'd like to share three things with us, just reminders and practical ways that we can know that God is acting on our behalf. The first thing is this: here on earth, live right before God. Here on earth, live right before God. David's prayer, as we said at the beginning, was an emotional one. But also David's prayer was a prayer of sincerity, because David was aware of his situation. And yet David knew that God would act on his behalf. And that's why David cried out to God. He knew that he was innocent of what he was being accused of. And not only that, as David shared in verses 1 through 5, he shared, listen, examine me, God. Check me out. See if there's any wrong way in me. Not only that, David scrutinized his own life. But yet, at the end of the day, David was living by God's standards. David wanted God to act on his behalf because he knew and believed that God would do so. David was saying, God, hold me up. And for us, in the world that we live in today, we've been blamed. We asked, we said, have you been blamed for something? You're probably thinking, yeah, I was. And it was someone who was very close. Or it was, listen, look, I was accused of something that I wasn't even there at the time. And so if we know that those things are going to happen, are we saying, God, hold me up. Examine me. See what is right in me. If there isn't things that are right in me, God, please change them. Please change them so I can become more like you. Job put it this way in Job 23, 11 and 12, he says, but he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. My feet have closely followed his steps. I have kept to his way without turning aside. So not only, again, as I keep using Chick, but as Chick shared, even with the life of Job, David would have known. But not only of Job, of Moses, of David, but even people after him. The prophet Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 12:3, yet you know me, O Lord, you see me and test my thoughts about you. When we are living right before God, we can go to God, but yet we are to be sincere, because insincerity is fruitless. And when we allow our hearts to lead us in prayer, God will meet them with his favor. And right living before God gives us confidence when we go to him. Chick talked about that last week. And this allows us to watch God work in mighty ways, because God is the Savior of those who seek his refuge. And when we live by God's ways, in faith and with prayer, we begin to receive daily supplies of His grace and His strength to get through. I know of a couple who, in the first part of their marriage, the husband was quite difficult. To be honest, he was pretty much a jerk. And the wife was wondering why he was behaving this way. He wasn't being the man of the house. He wasn't being the man that God wanted him to be. And so the wife struggled with that. And she went to the Lord and said, God, why is he being so stubborn? And yet God said, the best way that you can honor me is by honoring him. And she lived right before God and continued to go to him. And throughout, you know, it took probably several years, but it clicked. The husband got it. And he confessed, he repented to God and to his wife. And I tell you what, I know that woman better than anyone in the whole wide world. And to know that when you live right before God, that it may stink. When you are having the finger pointed at you and going, I didn't do anything. Live right before God. Do right before God. As you honor him, he will honor you. So if we are to live right before God and we see that David is saying, examine me, God, the question that we can ask this morning, if there was an x-ray to be taken of our heart, what would be exposed? If there was an x-ray to be taken of our heart, what would be exposed? Would we allow God to examine our hearts to see what is right and true? Or those sins in our lives that he can expose and extract them and heal so that we can be right with him? Or would we have a hard time even allowing the x-ray to take place? So when it comes to God acting on our behalf, for us, when the finger pointing happens here on earth, live right before God. The second thing is this: here on earth, live confidently in God. Here on earth, live confidently in God. As we just said a few moments ago, that David's confidence lied in no one other than God. David wanted God to do this for him because it was out of David's trust in God. And David knew, again, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that God would not fail him. There wouldn't be a moment where God said, oops, my bad. Oh, you're one of mine? No, that didn't happen. He knew that God would not fail. And for us, when we are living right before God and we're living confidently in God, when we are obedient and honor God with all that we do, there are rewards, there are blessings for that obedience. And when we choose the opposite, to disobey and not trust and put things into our own hands, there are consequences for our actions. And yet in all of that, God protects us because God cares for us. God cares for us because he loves us. If God didn't love us, he wouldn't care. God wants for each and every one of us to have that same confidence, to go to him with any and every situation. And not just when there's problems, but even when in the good times. I praise you, Lord. I thank you for how good it is right now, because I know that the storms will come. Not just with the good, the bad, but even the ugly. Again, the sin in our life. God, what is it? What is it? What am I doing that breaks your heart, that doesn't put a smile on your face? And to be able to take that and to confess that and to live in freedom of that. Psalm 118, 5 and 6 says, in my anguish I cried to the Lord, and he answered by setting me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? When it's so easy to flee a harmful situation, that is the best time to run to God, because his arms are open wide. God knows every blame. God knows every accusation. God knows every hurt, every pain, every broken relationship, every job loss, every financial struggle. He knows it. He knows it. And yet he wants for each and every one of us to remember that his great love gives us the comfort to make it through during difficult times. I appreciate what the psalmist said, and he answered me by setting me free. There is freedom when we go confidently before God in prayer. My family and I have a great opportunity. We're going to Camp Sankenac this week. We actually leave this afternoon. And we were asked, Tina and I were asked to actually share about our years in Canada. And we told them, listen, we don't live there anymore. I said, that's fine. We would love for you to come and share. And as I've shared before about Big Trout Lake is the native reserve that we did summer camps for children there, I'd like to share this story because we're going to share it while we're there. It's about a boy named Winston. It was our second day of our first year there. Does that make sense? Okay, so it was a Saturday, and we were taking a walking tour of the reserve. And Winston came into the community center we were in and began saying, white people, you don't need to be here. You need to go home. And just making comments like that. So some of the other native folks were saying, you need to leave. And so he left, and as we were going back to the church that we were doing the camp from, he began to be physical with some of the male teammates. And the police had to come and arrest him. And I'll never forget, I sat down after that whole incident in between the hockey arena and the community center, and I said, okay, God, what in the world are you doing? Do you understand that I have 18 people that I am responsible for, and two of those 18 people are my daughter and my wife? It's the second day, and this is what's happening. Yeah, he laughed, Jack, he did. But we as a team went back to that church and began to pray. While we were praying, it was raining like crazy. I mean, it was bad. And as we were praying, there were literally, I kid you not, there were teenagers crying out to God. Not saying, can we go home? That's what Jeff was saying. But saying, God, we're just asking that you take care of us. We know that we're supposed to be here to reach these children. And in the midst of it, the power goes out. We continue to pray, continue to sing worship songs. About 5 minutes after we got done, about an hour and a half of praying, the power came back on. So the kids were like, see, Jeff, everything's going to be all right. You know, and I'm like, let's pack it up and hit the road, and we're going back. I didn't drive 2,500 miles to have this happen. At the end of the day, what had happened was the next morning, we were holding the church service. And one of the ladies came in and said, well, you know, the electric company just made it here today. They're going to restore power on all the reserve. I said, really? I said, because we got power back at like 10 o'clock last night. Bing. God, I am sorry. I did not trust you enough. I wasn't confident enough to go to you and say, you know why we're here. And at the end of the day, you know what? There was a team that just went this year. 6 years in a row. And they are just continuing to reach that community. You don't know them. That's okay. But God is changing that community by people who said yes, who are confident enough to say no matter what the situation is, we're moving forward. There was a girl by the name of Kristen. She emailed one of the team members that Tina and I knew and said, thank you for coming. I've given my life to Jesus Christ. 5 years. We're gone. How beautiful. How beautiful that is. When we can live here on earth and live right before God, honor Him in all that we do, live confidently in Him, when we know that we can go to Him with whatever it is. So if we're to live confidently in God, we can ask ourselves, where does our confidence lie? Where does our confidence lie? Does it lie in ourself? Because if you're thinking it lies in yourself, take my example of not what to do. Or are you relying in the hope that you have, whose name is Jesus Christ? So if we're to live here on earth when the finger pointing happens is live right before God and live confidently in God, here's some good news. There in eternity, life forever with God. Life forever with God. Not only was David confident that God would act on his behalf, but David concludes his psalm with a confession of confidence. Because David knew who the righteous judge was and still is today. He knew who would vindicate him. David said in there that he would see his face. And in Hebrew, that meant that the individual had access to see the king. And because of Jesus Christ, we have access. Because of Jesus Christ giving up his life, going on the cross, and dying for each and every one of our sins. That's how we can have life forever with God. David said, the reward is for those, for men, their reward is here on earth. And if we're honest, if you're okay with that, this is your reward. What you have now is what you have now. And that's it. But for those of us whose hope is in Jesus Christ, it is so much more. So much more in eternity with our Lord and Savior. 1 John 3:2 puts it this way, dear friends, we are now children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. When we are forever with God, Christ will hold the highest position in the family of God. When we are forever with God, we will be perfect and holy. When we are forever with God, we will be able to worship the Lord God Almighty. Amen? Who acted on our behalf, sending his one and only Son to cover the penalty of sin with his own life. And if we understand that there is an eternity with God and our hope is in Christ, this is the only hell we will ever experience. If you were okay with saying, I'm going to do things on my own, I don't need my relationship with God, I have acted on my behalf my whole entire life, then this is the only heaven that you will experience. You know, at the end of the day, Tina and I have no clue what the outcome is going to be of this whole fiasco, as I call it. And there's days that I cry out to God. And there's days where it gets so frustrating to deal with individuals who know a lot more about insurance and things like that than I do. But taking time in this passage and seeing that, you know, David's life was at stake puts things into perspective. And that I know that I can trust my Heavenly Father with any and everything. Because when the finger pointing comes, when the blame comes, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that he and he alone will act on my behalf. As we take just a time to reflect and think about God's truths this morning, if you are a follower of Christ, I would like to ask you this morning, is there a situation, is there a thing that you are dealing with right now that you say, you know what, I have been acting on my behalf? Allow God to examine your heart. Allow him to show you those things. And be encouraged by the things that are right and true. It may be, you may be blamed for the job loss. You may be blamed for the financial situation. You may be blamed for the relational issues. I don't know. God does. But allow him to act on your behalf, being your defender, being your spokesperson. And when we realize that we will one day share in the glory, we must also today share in the finger pointing and in the suffering. And remember that God uses it all for his glory and for our good. This morning you may be saying that I've done things on my own, and thank you very much, I can act on my behalf. At the end of the day, you have to ask, am I acting on my behalf, or am I allowing God to act on my behalf? If it's yourself, are you okay with that? Are you okay with an eternal life separated from God? Because if you think about it, Jesus never did anything wrong here on this earth, and yet he was accused of a lot of things, to the point of death. Death on a cross. But yet his death and bringing glory to the Father brought life, eternal life for each and every one of us who chooses to say, my allegiance is with Jesus. And knowing that Jesus wants to be your true defender. I'd like to share, as we close in prayer, I'd like to share a prayer that I've used before, and it's called a surrender prayer. I'm just going to change things. Jeremy, if you could put the picture of those two ladies up. The ladies who went to prison for being a follower of Christ. And if we think that we got it tough, and when we think that, oh, the blame's all on me and the accusations, why are people so mean to me and why me, 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 me? We can remember that there's some women that say, you know what, God? It doesn't matter what happens. We surrendered our lives to you. And we know that we're going to live right before you. We're going to go confidently before you. And we know at the end of the day, if our lives are taken here, our lives have only just begun with you. So I don't know where each and every one of you are with that this morning. But just know that myself and the elders will be here this morning after the service to talk to you, to pray with you. And what we all we want is just to see you grow in your relationship with the Lord. Or even today, for the first time, you may say, I'm ready to give my life. I want him to act on my behalf. Let's pray. God, help us surrender what we cannot change in others. And the courage to change the things that we need to change in us. God, we need the wisdom to know the difference. Help us, Lord, not to be overwhelmed by living one moment at a time, one day at a time, with joy, seeing difficult times as a road to growth. Lord, take our human failures and flaws and use them to remind those who know us that only you are God and we will always just be us, believing that you will make all things right as we surrender to your will. Father, and we believe that. Father, I pray that for those of us who are just struggling with the blame game, who are struggling with, Father, the struggles of life, Lord, that they would lay them at your feet today. Lord, I pray if there's any who do not know you personally, Lord, I just pray that they would just set the pride and set aside just acting on their behalf and give it over to you and surrender to you because there is freedom. Jesus, we just want to celebrate right now together as your family, as your children, that no matter what, one day with you is going to be better than any other time. Lord, we cannot wait for the day that we celebrate and worship you forever and ever. Father, our hope is in you. Our trust is in you. And Father, we thank you that you act on our behalf. In Jesus' name.